That was lovely. Hey, kids, come up and join me. I need three kids who want to be good at math today, too. I need three volunteers. All right, I got volunteers already popping up all over the place. All right, you think you're good at math, right? All right, then I'm going to give you, make sure I got this right. I'm going to make sure I got it right. All right, I'm going to give you this. That's two dimes, okay? I'm going to give you five pennies. I'm going to give you three nickels. All right, now here's the deal. This is a math game. It's not about fairness. Okay, just realize right now it's not about fairness. See in the back there, there's these boxes that say offering. I need each of you who I gave money to go put at least 5 cents in those boxes. Go. You have to put at least 5 cents in the boxes. Go. Go, go. At least 5 cents. Their excitement at going to the offering plate is just like yours, congregation. I can feel it. You guys can anticipate where this is going, don't you? You can anticipate. Come on back. All right. Isla, how much money did I give you? I gave you, how much do you have left? Zero. How much money did I give you?
20.
How much do you have left?
10.
How much did I give you?
15.
How much do you have left?
Zero.
You gave it all away? You ruined my whole message. You ruined my whole message. I was going to say, who gave the most away? Who gave the most away? She gave the most away because she gave away 15 cents. But if she had only put 5 cents in, who gave the most away? Actually, she would have because she gave in 10 cents. Right? Because you had two dimes. No, you had two dimes. So yeah, you had two dimes. I got to get my story straight here. Who gave the greatest percentage away? You. And you because you put it all in. And that's the sermon, right? All in. Because God doesn't want just 5% of us, or 10% of us, or 15% of us, or 20% of us. He wants the whole shebang. He wants our whole hearts. Now, sometimes that looks like giving away our money. Sometimes it looks like giving away our talent. Sometimes it looks like giving away our time. But what we're going to hear about today is that God wants all of us. Because you know what? God gave all of himself to us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I hope you'll listen. Can we say a prayer? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks that you didn't give just 5% of your blood or 10% of your blood. You gave it all. And Lord, that you've called us now to go all in on you. And what that looks like for each of us might be different based on what we have. But Lord, may we go all in on you. May we have faith like these kids. In your name, amen. All right, guys, we love it when you stay in worship. But if you want, there is children's church. What you're going to do is for up to second grade, and you're going to go find your parents, and they can take you upstairs. Following Mr. Bradley over there if you want, but whether you're staying or going, go sit or go back to your parents and we'll figure it out from there. So congregation, this is one of the amazing things. We are blessed as a church to have a plethora of great preachers. And sometimes I think when it comes to talking about money, because that's part of what's going to get talked about today, you hear it better when it's somebody who doesn't get paid by you. So I'm just going to be blunt. I don't get paid. I do get paid by you, but the person who's going to speak today doesn't. So Russell Lee is a retired Presbyterian pastor, and he is going to preach today. His son and daughter-in-law serve as missionaries, And he's been retired and living in this area, and we are blessed to have him. So listen for God's word through Russell. Russell, come on up and give us heaven.
Well, good morning. Two things already have happened, as they usually do in the children's sermon. The whole sermon has already been preached, so pretty much we can go home in a few minutes. And then he's talking about the fact that there are a lot of great preachers in this congregation, but instead they asked me to preach this morning. So, you know, things happen, and you're thankful for all of those. But yeah, I'm glad to be a part of this congregation, and for the last couple of years, I've seen some amazing things happen, particularly during COVID, when a lot of churches closed up and a lot of things did not happen. This church grew, and I was thankful to see the creative things that were happening, that the staff and the people in this congregation made happen, and God in person made happen. So as we turn to the sermon today, I want to share with you, I was doing a little bit of research about this, as pastors are wont to do when they're getting ready to preach, and I found a book called Not Your Parents' Offering Plate. Very interesting, and there are a lot of changes that have happened over the last 30 or 40 years in the church. It takes a lot more to operate. It takes a lot of technology have come into play, and a lot of other things have happened. But I found an interesting story that I hope might challenge us as we begin to think about the Pearl of Great Price today. This book was written by Cliff Christopher, and he was a professional fundraiser. He's a pastor, but he's also a professional fundraiser. And he was visiting a church, and he found out that one of its long-term members, a young lawyer, had given $1.5 million to the local youth center. And he's told of a young boy from a broken home. His life had been completely turned around by the youth center. And they asked this young lawyer why, and he said, well, I asked the director of the youth center what could be done to create more stories like this, and he told me that he needed a new center, but it would cost $1.5 million. And I thought to myself, well, I have $1.5 million, and that would be a great way to use it. And if he can change lives, I'll fund it. And so when he was asked about church involvement, he said he said he attended his local church about 48 Sundays a year. Do you give? He said, well, I give as good as most. And then Christopher asked him if he would consider giving a gift like that to the church, and he said, Lord, no, they wouldn't know what to do with it. And then he said he was going to give away another $1 million to another youth organization the next year. Now, I couldn't wait to tell this story to you this morning as a story of the incredible and of the challenge that we have to refocus our lives to see that, yes, the youth centers and yes, colleges and yes, all those other things are very, very important. A number of you teach at those and go to those organizations. But that the eternal things, the spiritual things, the things of God, the things that you really can't see, those are the most important. So perhaps in this giving season, you might be able to switch your giving around and say, the big things, the more important things I'm going to do through the church that I'm a part of. Interesting story, but it could be a reality in your life and in our lives. The scripture for today, the second scripture, is the second of the twin parables that Jesus told. The last one John preached on last week, and the second one is from Matthew 13, verse 44 and 45. It says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I have a question for you today, and it really comes from this little tiny passage of great import. And that question is this: how much does heaven really matter? Yeah, we say Jesus is important, we say heaven is important, but in the very working out of our lives, how much does it matter, and how much do we do for the Lord, and how much does the Lord work through you? And what message does the parable of the priceless pearl have for us today? Well, you know, one of the first things it shows us is that the kingdom of God is more priceless than any other thing on earth. I mean, look at your family, maybe with you today, more important than that. Look at the church. Look at the things that we have, our homes, and all the things that we have. And the kingdom of God is much more important than that. And Jesus used the pearl, one of the most valuable things in the world, to show this. And he used the example of the merchant in knowing the value of things and choosing the right things at the right time. This merchant was in the business of buying pearls all the time, and he bought them, and he was looking for them. He knew what the good pearl looked like. When he finally found that pearl, he went home and sold everything he had and went back and bought it. The great pearl, the pearl of great price. So, friends, the obvious thing that Jesus wants us to see, and Jesus is looking at us today as he looked at the treasury when the people were giving with a widow as well, is, do you know in your heart and life Jesus Christ? Do you know the value of knowing Jesus Christ? Has he transformed you in who you are, in your work and in your family and in your life? And do you know it's not a choice to make? It is the choice. It is the most important choice that you will ever make, to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to serve him. Different people can see it in different ways. There's a poem called "Who is Jesus to You?" I don't know why it's a poem, because it doesn't rhyme, but it looks at the ways that different people in their professions and the way they look at Jesus like the pearl of great price. And I'd like to share some of those with you. Who is Jesus to you? To the artist, he's the one altogether lovely. To the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he's the living bread. To the banker, he's the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the life. To the builder, he is a sure foundation. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the educator, he's the great teacher. To the farmer, he's Lord of the harvest. To the florist, he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he's the rock of ages. To the jeweler, can you finish this one? The pearl of great price. To the lawyer, the counselor, the advocate, the lawgiver. To the philanthropist, he's the unspeakable gift. To the sculptor, he's a living stone. To the traveler, he's a new and living way. To the sinner, he is a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. To the Christian, he is the Son of the living God, the Savior, the Redeemer, and Lord. So think about, from your perspective, how important Jesus is and how that looks in your life. You know, part of showing how valuable the kingdom of God is to us is what we're willing to give up. And that was happily illustrated by Jesus in this parable. As the merchant, of course, gave everything he had to have that pearl of great price, which is like the kingdom of God, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is like this merchant who went and sold all he had once he had found that great pearl. You look through the scriptures and you can find great examples of people who had done just this very thing. Moses, you remember Moses? Next in command for all of Egypt, he was a Jew, and he gave up all of the riches and the political power and the fame of Egypt in order to be identified with God the Father. And Paul, the destroyer of the church, gave up everything, his position in the Jewish religion, in order to become a Christian. And then the rich young ruler, of course, was called upon to sell everything he had and give it to the poor in order to be Christ's disciple. What have you given up for the Lord? If you think about your giving, some people say you're not really giving until it hurts, until you're giving sacrificially. Some people say it's 10% or more. But we know that God has it all, right? It's all God's. And when we begin to think about what we are able to give, including our lives, it's a little bit easier to do because we realize it's God's. It's not ours. We don't have that possessive nature kicking in. We don't have that say, it's mine, I, mine. If we could get through of I, mine, ours, all those pronouns that are possessive, we'd have a lot better world, wouldn't we? Because it's really ours, and in fact, it's really God's. You know, we're really not going to find the kingdom until we look for it. And many of us have looked for it and found it. The kingdom is like the merchant looking for fine pearls. And you think of who the characters are. The merchant really is the church. And you look at the church as this organization that we are trusting to reach out to others for the Lord. And we do it in so many different ways. And the merchant is you and me because we're part of the church, right? Searching and finding and giving and growing, abandoning the mundane for the miraculous, the ordinary for the extraordinary. That's what God calls us to do in this world right now, not in the future, but right now. Do you know how precious and life-giving this church is? The wonderful things that are happening every single day. They're kind of pointed up on Sunday mornings and in the online examples, but every single day. One of the things I really love about this church are the three all-in pastors. There's Scott over there and John there, and Billy. I don't know if Billy's here today or not. He might be doing some other things. Sometimes you never know where these pastors are. They might be online in the back somewhere talking to people on Sunday morning. But they're all in different ways. But there's no question about that they are. This great worship team that somehow appears at the front of the church whenever it's time for worship, and there's music going on. Shannon says it's noise. I'm not sure it's a noise. I think it's a great offering of music. But it's a wonderful thing, and the opportunities that all the staff people have, the technology people, the building managers, everybody is helping grow and change the world around them and across the globe. This is a special place to be, and it doesn't happen automatically. After 40 years of ministry and being in some wonderful churches and finding a place to be in retirement, I looked around and I found this church as a great example of what the church is really supposed to be. Not an ordinary building, not an ordinary organization, but a place where God in Christ is being served, where Jesus is real. There are people who teach Sunday school, the mission workers, the people who go on mission trips, And praying is a such certainly important thing to do, the most important. And from giving to leading and from serving ourselves to serving Jesus, this is one of the most life-filled churches. So let's not take it for granted. Let's be thankful what God is doing here and try to do a big part of what God is making happen to let him work through us. And asking, the way of doing that is to ask ourselves, what is the kingdom of God the most valuable thing in our lives? Do we have the slide that is supposed to go up about now? Oh, there it is. Where are we in that picture? Is Jesus the pearl of great price for you? Do we reflect his value, his image, as the pearl of great price? Does he polish and grow you to be another pearl of heaven? Does his power protect you so that you can be the one that you were created to be? And do the troubles and the irritants of this world only make you grow more beautiful in Christ? Are you safe inside that beautiful shell? Let's call it the church. And yet looking out to beckon others in. And are you in a group or a class being taught and challenged to grow in faith and in love and helping others to grow? The real question today is, are we a beautiful pearl or just a rock that just has yet to become a precious child of God? Do you walk in Jesus as you shine for others? The pearl and the oyster are great images for who we are in Christ and how God shapes and molds us into saints of God. And actions, not thoughts, show that we see the kingdom of heaven. In Mark 12, when Jesus sat and watched the people putting money in the treasury, and by the way, I think he still does that as the offering plate used to come around. I guess it might come around sometime in the future. I don't know. It seems to be working okay the way it's working. He saw the rich putting in a lot of money and knew they had much more and it really cost them nothing. And he saw the widow who put in literally just her own 2 cents, all she had to live in. And he said, this poor widow has put in more in the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live in. She was now going to trust God, as we must. To trust the church to take care of her now because she had no way to do it herself. And we have the chance this season to be all in for Christ, to give of the blessings of God that God has given us to do the great things, and to give not out of our wealth but sacrificially, to fund a house, to fund a ministry to refugees, to fund a building to reach the lost, the kingdom of God in all its glory. Think about how God can challenge you to give in ways that you have never given before. Remember the story we started out with about the $1.5 million and where it went, and really where I think it should have gone. I don't know about you. I want to conclude with this story. A story my son Matthew in Cameroon sent. Whenever I get to preach, I say, well, you know, here's the passage. Can you send me a few thoughts that you might have? Because he's in the Christianity business and the word business and with Wycliffe. And how can you show fellow Christians that you are all in for Christ? Well, story is told about the tradition of the Desert Fathers. They're a group about 350 to 400 A.D. in the desert of Egypt, and they were monks out there doing spiritual things. And one day a young monk asked one of the desert fathers why it was that so many came into the desert looking for God and yet most of them did not stay but returned to the outside world. And the old monk said, yesterday my dog saw a rabbit in the bushes and began to give chase. He barked with joy, and other dogs heard his bark, and they joined in the chase too. And soon, the dogs began to drop out of the hunt. A few stayed with the chase through the night, but in the morning, only my dog continued chasing the rabbit. Do you understand what I've told you? No, the young monk said. Please tell me. And the old monk said, well, it's simple. My dog saw the rabbit. So, the implication is obvious. Do you see Jesus? Does he live in you? Seek the kingdom. Be all in. Know its very essence in Jesus and the salvation that he brings. Perhaps this year, perhaps today, after years of running around in circles for God, watching what other people do, joining in with others just because they're doing it, you will walk with him. You will run with him, all in, with nothing held back. And the way you give, not just during stewardship season, but all year round, will reflect it. Let us pray. And now in this moment, O Lord, we thank you for the wonder and the beauty that happen when we embrace the kingdom, when we find that pearl of great price. And we pray that you would make some change, some amplification, some shift in our lives so that you would be more at the center, so that walking with Christ is walking with Christ, not following after him so that others do. Help us to give as the widow did. Help us to find, O Lord, the kingdom that is much more important than any other thing, like the merchant selling everything he had and going and buying the most priceless pearl. Bless us in this way so we can bless you and others. In the name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Well, friends, in the last 2 weeks, we've heard sermons about knowing that we've been given the greatest treasure of all. This morning, we heard that we've been given the pearl of great price. And those are in Jesus. And Jesus is all in for us. So what are we going to do about it? I'm reminded of the first scripture read today, that all of us have different financial circumstances, and yet the Lord calls all of us to equal sacrifice. Our stewardship theme this year is, we're all in. And God is leading the session with an exciting and bold vision about sharing the life-transforming message of Jesus. So in order for us to do this, each of us need to be all in, and we all need to be all in. Our time, our talent, and our treasure. In just a moment, we're going to have a moment of silence. It's an opportunity, if you haven't already, to fill out your pledge card. There are some that are in the pew holders. You can also do it on your phone or on your computer. You just go to the website, firstpresshvg.org/give, and right there you'll have the opportunity to be able to do it. And in filling it out, we are grateful for the 34 families who have already pledged $196,000 and $110. And we look forward to everyone's gift. Now, if you're a visitor this morning, or you aren't quite ready to know how much you are going to pledge, then we encourage you during this time to take this time of reflection to be able to ask the Lord how he's calling you to respond to the fact that he's all in for you.